Okay, we are back in session. Thank you very much, Greg, for the magic, whatever the magic is. What do you got? And after this explanation, we will go right to a vote. Because the question's been called, there's no discussion. We just want to have you explain this district line. Where's Carol? I mean, she's not going to be happy until this is answered.
Are you assuming they're not close to the bathroom?
Well, it's been, you know, 15 minutes, 10 minutes now. All right.
Greg, are you going to tell us what we're looking at?
Oh, good.
Please.
Carol, I just said this is a brief explanation. There will be no discussion. We are, Carol, we're going to vote as soon as Greg is finished, and Jonathan has a word to say, and then we're ready to vote.
And before we vote, can you reiterate what we're voting on for clarity?
Yep. Okay, found it?
Yes. Okay. First and foremost, the version of the 14C V3 Rev 1 that was distributed with the legal descriptions per the public notice requirements is correct. And that is what you are looking at for the area that that Legislator Chalk was questioning most recently. And it's an area on West Campus. And I do not have the map on the internet, which is accessible with the version that Carol is referring to, but let me try to explain it. There's a sliver in this area right here, which runs along the access street between a series of buildings on campus. It has no population associated with it, and when the city of Ithaca did their legal description, they left it out and changed it. So we were matching what they had done as well in some of the final versions or the final version that was submitted to you. So that is the change. It does not impact any of the deviations or any populations. It just cleans up the area and also matches what the city of Ithaca had proposed and what was approved in the city's process. That area is just this section here between what is the Lion Hall and War Memorial down in this section here and up to this point right here. It's just an old right-of-way that was abandoned years ago.
Right, that's all trees there.
That's correct, and it was...
The map should be going around. It shows a wider area.
That's correct.
Well...
Jonathan, did you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, just the fact that the change was made and I approved it just for legal description. It doesn't affect any people at all. There's no people in this area.
All right. It is time to vote. We should have a roll call. And what we are voting on was in your legislative packet, adopting local law E with version... No, we already did. The question was... Didn't we call the question?
Yeah, we
called the question. With version 3 is, this is voting to accept the recommendation of the commission.
Mr. Proto?
Can I offer an amendment?
No.
Yes.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Mr. Robison?
Yes.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Yes.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Ms. Chalk?
No.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Ms. Herrera?
No.
Ms. Kiefer?
No.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. McAsey?
No.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne? No. Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
10 ayes, 5 noes.
I want to congratulate the commission. I want to congratulate us, D, debate is hard, but it matters. If these things were simple, you know, other legislatures would have done them. Maybe the state would have done it. This is hard. There's no perfect system, as we've said, but this decision represents a tremendous amount of work, dedicated work by our volunteers and our staff, and we thank all of you. So, Dooley.
I don't want to go through all of my comments again, but I'd like our official minutes to reflect that my no vote is not because I think the commission did a bad job. I'd like you to find what I'd said earlier and summarize them. Please, Kathy.
Leslin?
I also wanted to make sure the commission understood that my no vote is not a reflection of the work that they have done at all. I actually appreciated the work that they have done. But if the commission is willing to figure out how to cut my district in half, or if there was a collection towards new sneakers for me come the fall, you might get a yes vote. But thank you for your work. I really do appreciate the work on it.
We really appreciate it. Deeply appreciate it. Thank you both. And our thanks to the entire commission. Okay, so let's see where we left off. You may have noticed the planning staff has left. They decided they'll try another night.
Thank you.
So if I have it correct, I think we're at my report. So I have an appointment to the WIB, Brian Allen, and I just wanted to mention, I was going to tell you about the Southern Tier Regional Economic Development Council meeting I went to today, but, I won't. Another time. I will mention that with great reluctance, I've appointed a committee to search for a replacement for David Squires. This is has been emailed to all of you, but just to make public, the legislative members, as well as Joe, are the following. Jim Dennis as chair, the other members, Dooley Kiefer, Mike Lane, Leslie McBean-Claiborne, Brian Robison, and myself, and Joe Mariana as a voting member. Anita Fitzpatrick and Stephen Estes will staff the committee, and David will advise us as needed. Committee members, I had asked you legislators to suggest committee members, and hope you'd send those by end of today to Jim. So he's still here. If you got any ideas, you can still send them to Jim. So we will look through some suggestions for community members and let you know who those appointments are as soon as we have them. We hope to get recruitment started this month. Frank.
Martha, just one comment. As I think the only county legislator who is currently serving, who was on the search committee that originally searched out David Squires, I want to tell you, you have your hands full with the new committee.
I'm quitting.
David was a real find, and I want to be very candid. That's no pun intended. He's going to be a tough act to follow, and I know what we went through those many years ago, so I hope they're as successful as we were, Dave. Good luck.
And if and of course we will let everyone know when the meetings are. Legislators are obviously invited to attend any of the search committee meetings. Any other questions? All right, thank you all. Joe Mariana. It's only 8:05. County Administrator's
report. It's better than I thought. That's pretty good. I think I'd like to use my time to present the budget. Use my report time. So if that works for the legislature, why don't we do that? I'll try to make it as exciting as possible because I know it's 8:00 and it is a budget, so sometimes that can be a bit dry. I'm trying the AV mute here. There we go. Well, we're there again. the beginning of a process that actually started back in April with the setting of fiscal targets that will end sometime in November. But I'm presenting you today with the recommended budget for 2013 that will be the subject of your review over the next several weeks. And tonight I'd just like to present kind of the high-level view of the budget, explain to you where some of the numbers are, where the trends are, and kind of the bottom line on the recommended budget that I'm presenting tonight. As we always do when we present the budget, because any budget is always shaped by the environment that it exists in, I wanted to go through a couple of the points that are shaping this budget. Unemployment, and I think we're all aware that there's been some dispute about methodology used to compute unemployment, but certainly unemployment shot up right after the recession and has stayed at very elevated levels since then. We don't see any real signs of decline over the last couple of years. On the other hand, inflation, which has kind of bounced all over the place since the recession, is on a downward trend. So in terms of pressures on prices, right now we're at a fairly low point in terms of inflation. It's about 1.5% as we speak. Consumer confidence, which we always talk about as something that influences things like sales tax collections, because when people are confident about the economy, they tend to spend more. Consumer confidence is erratic, but it is generally on the rise right now. The red line is upstate New York. The blue line is the rest of the country. At the same time, there continues to be a high level of need for the human services, the kinds of human services that we offer. And you've heard me say many times we look at food stamps as a barometer of kind of the underlying level of need in the community. These are food stamp cases over the past 10 or 11 years, and you can see that they're on a very steep upward spiral still. There are still critical social problems that our budget has to deal with, and one example of that that we've talked to you about in the past is children in placement. When you look at the number of kids in placements since the recession, if you want to use that as a benchmark, we're up two-thirds since the recession. The number's almost doubled over the past 6 or 7 years. At the same time, the economy wants to show signs of improvement. This is one indicator. This is the stock market, and the stock market has been going up. Since 2008, it continues to go up, so there are signs of improvement. So in terms of our environment right now, very much a mixed bag. Again, still elevated levels of need and dependence on the community that we need to provide for in our budget. My expectation is we will see some signs of plateauing in 2013. In understanding this budget, I think we need to appreciate and understand that it's being built on a very solid foundation that all of you and everybody who works for the county has been in the process of repairing or rebuilding over the past 4 years. The fiscal crisis has had a major impact on us and, frankly, every other county in New York State, and I don't have to recite what we have been through over the past 4 years as we've tried to understand what this new economy is, what this new environment is, and how we should adapt to it. But in looking back and trying to understand kind of where our approach was and translate that into basically how we approached these huge challenges over the past 4 years, I think it's very fair to say that this legislature and this county aimed for long-term solutions. We didn't do the quick fix things. We aimed for long-term stability and solutions. And that whole strategy really rested on the ideas of a balanced approach. So we didn't try to solve the budget in one narrow area. We tried to balance, and also on shared sacrifice. I think as when you look at where we are today, you'll see the benefits of that approach. Just looking back quickly before we get into 2013, things that we didn't do and we did do over the past 4 years since the economy collapsed. We didn't spend down our reserves. We didn't borrow for pensions, something that the state invented, actually pitched. We didn't do it. We felt that was bad business. We didn't resort to any fiscal gimmicks. We did not reopen labor contracts. We did not impose unpaid furloughs. A lot of other governments around the country, that was one of the first things they did. We did not impose those kinds of things. We did not impose wholesale layoffs. But we didn't get everything right either. So we don't want to sound like we've mastered all these questions of the universe. We certainly didn't get everything right. But in looking at what we didn't do, I think that's a good set of things that we should not have done and we didn't do. But what we did do, we tried to honestly assess what our environment was. We didn't sugarcoat things. We worked with the unions on contracts that fit the times, and as we talk about this budget, much of the credit for the stability that I will describe is based on the fact that our unions came to the table in good faith and negotiated contracts that fit the times. We managed natural attrition, so we didn't engage in wholesale layoffs. We didn't do some of those other things on the left side. But what we did do was to manage the natural attrition that occurs in an organization of our size, and we downsized our roster based on that. We eliminated programs, some of them. We reduced programs. We sought other revenues, and you know that we've had luck with some and not with others, like the mortgage recording tax. And when windfalls arose, and we've had a few, we use those windfalls to replenish our reserves. And again, we've balanced our spending cuts with tax increases. And that balanced strategy has served us well and has really helped us as we put together the 2013 budget. So what does all that mean? It means a few important things. First, it means that programs and services can be maintained at present levels. This is the first budget in 4 years where we are talking about stability as opposed to further retrenchment. And as if you take time to read the budget message, I note there, in this time, stability is quite the accomplishment. There's not many other places that can say that they've reached that point. We acknowledge it could be fleeting, but still, we are at a point now where we can assure the community of a continuity of county services. That's important. Second, we can stabilize our roster. This budget does that. Our roster, if you approve the recommended budget, will be 8% less than it was 3 years ago. But in terms of employees who are concerned that their jobs may be on the line because of this budget, they're not. This budget holds our roster stable. Third, we can invest in technology and training. How do we keep our government small and still provide the services that some of the stats that we looked at earlier show that are still there? There's still a high demand for services. How can we do that with a diminished roster? Well, this budget proposes we do it by investing in technology and training. And last, we can do all that within a property tax parameter that is within the 3.5% that was set by this legislature back in April. So what's influencing the budget? What are some of the major ups and downs in both revenues and expenses, beginning with revenues? You'll notice our clever color coding here. When you see a green bar underneath a name, it's good. And when you see a red bar, it's not good. So sales tax is a green bar. Sales tax perked up at the end of 2011. It's tracking pretty good right now. We've projected a 2% growth factor both this year and next, which would bring an extra $1.4 million in revenue to the budget next year. Payments in lieu of taxes, red line here, they're down by $200,000. Not a surprise, because that really reflects the adjustment to the AES pilot. State and federal aid, not great. We're down again in state and federal aid. We're projecting a reduction of $615,000, largely as a result, well, actually caps or limitations on revenue they give us, but also reduced allocations. So it's not as bad as it has been in the past, but it's still not good. We're still down, and it contributes to our increase in local costs.
Does that down mean down over last year?
It does. It means down between the 2012 budget and the 2013 budget.
Okay.
On the expenditure side, again, some of the major movers in the budget, this is an important good news item. Our payroll is stable. It's flat. From 2012 to 2013, it's flat. As you recall, for the most part, employees in 2012 received an increase in the form of a one-time bonus. It was $1,250. It was there, and then it went away. And in 2013, that's replaced by a 2% increase in base pay. The result is our payroll is flat for 2013. That's a result of, again, restrained long-term wage agreements with our unions. And, again, we have to give credit where credit is due. Our unions worked with us in good faith and negotiated agreements that were right for the times. Our roster is up by 4 positions over 2012. We're still down by 8% over 2009. Certainly not, we're not on any kind of a path to go back to where we used to be. We're up 4 positions, and I will explain where those are as we go along here. You can see there's our payroll trend. And that little blip up toward the right is the difference between 2012 and 2013. Our benefits, this is a peculiar one this year, and you can see cleverly the split between red and green. Our health costs are up by 9.5% over the expected expenditure this year. That's $500,000. However, our pension costs are actually down a bit in 2013 by $194,000. It relates mostly to the fact of what I've been talking about with respect to wage restraint. Wages are actually below where they were originally projected when the pension costs were estimated. So our pension costs are actually down between 2012 and 2013. 2012 budget, again, was set at a certain level. Our actual pension expenditures will be less than what we put in the budget for 2012. So we're actually able to take a bit of a savings in 2013. Pension rates are still going up. You can see the bottom bullet there. The rate's going up from 18.9% of salary to 20.9%. But again, payroll base is down. And there's the trend line of pensions. You can see it's still on the rise. The blue is what we know. The pink is what we think we know in terms of future years. So it's still on the rise as a rate of salary, but again, payroll is down.
Frank?
Take a question right now, Joe?
Sure.
You sent an email out today, or maybe Kathy did, with regard to the hit statewide on pension costs. In spite of that, we're still in pretty good shape.
Yeah, in fact, the announcement by the comptroller didn't come until Friday. It's actually a little bit less than what had been projected. The State Division of Budget had been projecting a rate of 21.6%. The comptroller's number came in at 20.9% of salary, still up a full 2 points. So there's still growth, again, that bar chart, there's still growth in the pension rate. But again, when we look at our payroll is down, and it relates to attrition that we've had. It relates to the fact that we've reduced our roster by currently 9%, that our wages have been flat, and that there's, again, if you look at last year, we held some vacancies to be able to make sure we stayed within our budget parameters. So all that stuff adds up. And it pays off in the form of, in 2013, a slight reduction in pension costs.
Peter?
Joe, if I could follow that discussion a little bit. If you go from 18% to 20%, that's 2% on a base of 20, so that's like a 10% increase in the actual cost. So the only way you can, you say, okay, but the base is down. The base has to go down by 10% in order to compensate for that. So I don't quite see how our payroll base dropped by 10% to compensate for the 10% raise in rate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think, Peter, we'll need to go through all that when we have time to go through it.
Okay.
In 2012, everything is kind of plays off of 2012. We had made an estimate of our payroll costs that turned out to be higher than what they actually were when the comptroller added them up. So we'll go through the befores and afters. The good news is that the work we've done to bring things down is paying off in a couple of areas, including, of all places, benefits.
Please write your questions down. Let's let Joe get through it, and we'll come back to questions after.
Mandates are still an issue for us. Again, we showed in some of the early slides that demand for our mandated services is still on the rise. Mandated costs are up by almost 6%. That's $1.4 million. You'll find at the end of the show, $1.4 million is about how much we're proposing to raise our levy. So if you want to look at the effect of mandated growth on our property taxes, it explains almost the entire increase in levy. Costs are up. Aid is stagnant or declining. We have an aberration in the numbers this year. We have a 53rd week of Medicaid. We make weekly payments on Medicaid. We have a 53rd week. So you know we've applied one-time money to address that one-time event. It happens every time the locusts arrive. I think it's every 7 years. There's a new Medicaid administrative cap. So the state often talks about other caps, but one of the things they've done to us is cap the amount of money they pay us to administer their Medicaid program. The effect of that is $137,000 that we have to eat that the state had formally compensated us for. And again, the concerning mandate right now for any number of reasons is child care, where you're seeing a large increase in caseloads. It's also pushing the budget, so it's a $280,000 increase in child care. Energy, green line, this is good. Our energy estimate for 2013 is actually down a bit from 2012 by 5.5%. The energy budget, the utility budget that you'll see will also reflect the fact, and that's not a pun, that we have solar panels that are going up on a number of buildings, so there's a lease expense in there as well as an energy savings in the 2013 budget. Library is a challenge, and it's one that we're going to need to continue talking about after this budget is passed. They presented us with a $360,000 structural deficit. It's largely because our contribution to the library has been going down. I think state contributions may be going down as well, but they have the same pension structure and health structure that we do, so their costs have been going up. So they have a $360,000 structural deficit.
That's for 1 year?
It's for 1 year, but we'll talk about plugging some of that, but it's the problem will go on after this budget. Kind of ups and downs. Town plowing, an interesting thing here. All of you know that we pay towns to plow some of our roads. The bill that we pay in 2013 is based on our actual experience in 2012, and because it didn't snow, the amount that we owe the towns is very low. It's much reduced from where it was before. So there was a $350,000 savings in the highway division because of that known bill. TCAD is something that we've talked about in committee. TCAD has a $170,000 budget shortfall due to diminished IDA project fees, and we'll be talking a lot about this over the coming days. But that was one of the challenges in this budget.
Is that structural?
It is structural. In fact, I don't want to get into too many details. The 170 assumes that they're going to use their remaining reserves in equal installments in 2013 and 2014. And if they were to do that, they still have a $170,000 gap this year, another gap in 14, and then a much larger gap in 2015. So in terms of the major movers and influences in the budget, those are the major things going on. One of the things that we've tried to do in this budget is to address what we've started to call cracks and fissures, basically cuts that have been revealed, things that where we really appreciate that we've probably cut too deep in the past or we need to invest more in the future, beginning with technology. You recall that we had a retreat where the entire topic was technology. We agreed that we need to make some investments, and this budget does. Beginning with the creation of a deputy director of ITS, this position will be both managerial and technical, much needed. An internal consolidation, bringing a health department person over to be a part of the ITS staff and dispatch to health and other places. Also a commitment to training within the ITS unit. In terms of systems, there are several that are provided in this budget. The first is a new case management system for the district attorney to replace one that was homegrown back in the 1990s, supported with one-time money. The second may actually be pre-funded, and this has come to Frank's committee. It's a new system in environmental health, which is a permit system. It allows much more field work than is currently allowed today. Large system funded with the health department's rollover. They're coming to committee for advanced funding, I think, this year. But we had to put it in the budget because we weren't certain what you might do with that. A smaller cost item, but important item, a highway management system. We used to call this a pavement management system. Very important to the inventory of our road systems and also to the road preservation law. And the final thing in this category is a first-time payment of a CAD maintenance or lease payment. This was something that was negotiated when that system was first acquired, that there would be five years of lease payments. This will hit the budget for the first time in 2013. In terms of other upgrades in technology, there's money in to support the vastly improved county webpage, also to expand wireless access so more of our conference rooms will have access to wireless, and an upgraded tax collection software system in the finance department. The second area where we're proposing investing more money really is under the same umbrella as technology, which is training. And we're viewing both technology and training as ways to sustain productivity, improve productivity, keep our roster as low as it can be, and still deliver services. So we propose in this budget a training budget equivalent to roughly $100 per county employee. It's placed in the personnel office in an OTR. It will be focused on proficiency, career development, making sure that the employees that we have all the tools that they need with respect to job training. There's also an increment in there for diversity, inclusion, and cultural competency. This is something that has come out of the retreat that we had recently and a recognition of a need for a commitment on that front. Again, this is all bundled in a single OTR in personnel. With respect to the environment, this is one of the new positions. It's a sustainability planner located in the planning office. Interestingly, the cost will be shared equally with the city of Ithaca. Position will begin in early April. On highways, I said earlier that we caught a break in terms of the cost to town for town plowing. We've reinvested that savings in a couple of things. First, in one motor equipment operator. This is another one of the new positions. This is a snowplow driver and a person who drives trucks in the summertime. We're desperately short of workers in the highway department. We've recognized that over the past couple of years. In addition, we've redirected that savings into an increase in highway materials. You can call that asphalt if you'd like. So we're putting money back into that budget.
How much of a hole is there still?
Well, it's $1.8 million, so it's back up to $1.8 million and change in 2013. So it's a good increase.
Well, wait, does that include or not include what we're talking about being in capital budget?
It does not include. So this would be separate and apart from that. Although the borrowing, the debt-supported highway improvements wouldn't start until 2014, I think. So this is, again, getting our pay-as-you-go back to where it was a couple of years ago. We're getting close to the end here. I know it's a long night. But agencies, the library, we talked about a structural deficit of the library. The budget does recommend $159,000 to the library. That's what they need to sustain their current roster, current payroll. That's still, and we've also proposed $20,000 in one-time money for technology. There will still be a $200,000 gap in their budget in 2013 that they can cover with their reserves. However, come 2014, those reserves will be gone. So you'll see in the budget message that we are recommending that we spend some time on that issue over the course of 2013 to start thinking about how to address that structural deficit. It's a 2% increase in here to the Human Services Coalition, to the Cooperative Extension. Soil and Water actually received a little more than 2%, but modest increases to those sponsored agencies. There's a $25,000 increase to OAR, that's more than 2%. This will help them with their bail fund and staff coverage. This really reflects our desire to keep populations low at the jail. Lastly, there's a one-time funding of $170,000 for TCAD. And again, we'll be talking about long-term solutions to that over the next several months. Things that aren't in here that were not funded that were asked for, large ones, again, the $200,000 by the library to close their gap we couldn't fund. TCAT had asked for $110,000 for a capital reserve. We weren't able to fund that. That'll appear as an OTR that's unfunded in your book. Soil and Water had asked for a $40,000 allocation for a hydrilla program. We felt that the state really needs to step up and support that rather than the county. The restoration of cuts that the state made to aging and youth, we didn't backfill those cuts. OAR had asked for more than we gave them.
Wait, how much were those state cuts to aging and youth?
$30,000. Well, these are, in terms of youth, it's an accumulated cut of $30,000. Aging is the RAP program. Is that also around 30? Yeah. So both have asked for OTRs, about 30 that are not funded. Probation had asked for a probation officer position to be retained. Last year, as a part of budget negotiations, probation agreed to have one position funded with one-time money at the end of 2013. It would go away, so we did not put money behind that probation officer. And there were several requests for target money as opposed to one-time money. And in many cases, we used one-time money. Risks are obvious. If the recession goes south again, we're in trouble. We are hyperlinked to the economy. So if Europe has a problem, if the feds go cliff diving, that will upset the balance that's in this budget. So where are we with the money side of the budget? The fiscal target that the legislature set was a 3.5% tax levy increase. That would have added $1.48 million in additional levy. We've come in a hair under that at 3.48%, so it's $1.47 million. If you look at the OTRs, here's where they came in, a total of $3.3 million. Requested, 2.1 of that would have been local money. We are in at 2.48, or $1.25 million in local. So we basically cut out $90,000 in local OTR requests, $900,000 in OTRs. So kind of getting to the bottom line, the budget itself, this is our full cost budget, a total of our expenditures. Our budget is up only $730,000 between 2012 and 2013. That is an increase of 0.4%. So when people ask you how much has the budget changed from year to year, it has changed by 0.4% between 2012 and 2013. The local budget, and this is, you know, after reimbursements and aid and those things are applied, what's left to be supported with sales taxes and property taxes, because there's been a reduction in state aid, because some other revenue has fallen off, the local budget is up by a bit more than that. It's up by 3.1%. And that requires a tax levy increase of 3.5%. The tax rate, because there's been growth in our tax base, the tax rate is up by 1.7%. So for an average homeowner, this budget would result in an increase of $18 in 2013 compared to 2012. And again, that's based on a median home value of 160, and we checked with assessment, and that's still an appropriate amount. It's an $18 increase. Our workforce, as I said, is up by 4. And if I'll repeat again, it's 1 in ITS. It is 1 in planning. It is the MEO in highways. The last one, we've added a position in DMV. They can't keep up with all the work they're doing, and they're generating revenues to pay for it. So that's the fourth position that was added. So our roster is up by 0.6%. And if you want one page with all the numbers on it, there it is. So that's our proposed budget for 2013. Again, after the last 4 years, it does reflect stability. I will emphasize that doesn't mean complacency. We're not. But it does represent a bit of a toehold in stability. So with that, it's all yours. And over the next few weeks, we will be reviewing this budget with you.
Thank you very much, Joe and Kevin, and thanks to all the department heads, obviously, who put in a tremendous amount of work. And if anybody's colorblind, I don't know what to do with the red and the green. All right. Brian, you had a question.
No, it was more of a comment when you're all done. Are you all set?
But if I could just say one more thing about the, if you look at the book itself, before we kind of get to the Q&A, the book is similar to last year. I think it's even cleaner than it was last year and easier to read. Behind the table of contents is the budget message. Under Section 2, this is really good stuff. The summary of the entire budget is within Section 2, where we consolidate a lot of things, and you can see FTEs. For the first time, we've given you a separate page that shows the major uncontrollable human service mandates. We've shown you a benefits page and fund balances. And Kathy Luz Herrera, the capital plan is presented, I think, in a much better format under tab 3.
It has its own tab.
And then as you enter each of the departmental budgets, the first thing you see is a consolidated departmental budget. So if you recall, remember COFR Mental Health. They have a million functional units. You never saw their budget combined. You do now. So you see a consolidated department budget under in front of each of the individual departments. And you can thank Kevin for the improvements there. So that's it.
All right. Any other questions?
Well, I didn't answer Brian's. I interrupted him before.
I didn't have a question.
Oh. Okay.
Are we ready to vote on the budget? Jim.
That's my line, Martha.
if you'll notice that there was a page on top of all your budget books that is a schedule, the very, well, it's the schedule we have right now for 9-11, 9-17, 9-24, 10-4, and so on, of all the meetings that you'll be asked to come to if you so desire. And there's a list of the departments and when they will be here. It was on top of, it looks like this. And if you don't find it, we have more.
Thank you, Jim. Brian?
Yeah, actually, I was going to comment on something that I saw maybe an hour before I got here tonight. I always try to check my emails before I get here. And Joe and his staff had sent an email to county staff. And it kind of chronicled what's been going on, actually, since Joe's been here in 2008. And thanking them for their constraint and also the public. And also, to a certain degree, us. Now, we don't necessarily need any thanks because we kind of signed up for this, and sometimes we wish we didn't, but we didn't. Obviously, the public does need to be thanked, and I guess the proof is in the pudding on that, because next year's election year, and we'll find out how good a job we did. But I thought it was really important and real classy to, in advance of us getting all of this, to send a message out to the staff, really thanking them. And hopefully for the first time since 2008, I mean, you've been coming in here and you've been the bad guy since you got here, because that's just the times. And now we're hopefully maybe over the hump a little bit, and it can at least maintain things. And I got to tell you, I was really struck by that, because that was that really showed a lot of class, and you're to be commended for that.
Thank you. Thanks for saying that.
Absolutely.
Not that I'm going to agree with everything.
No, I don't expect you to.
Just so you know.
Mike?
Just a quickie. You know, we've seen a lot of PowerPoints, but that was very crisp, very clear. And even after a three-hour so far meeting, it held my attention.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks for saying that.
Before you go, Leslie, one other question that we have is about the voting meetings. Kevin, did everybody get this doodle poll printout? Okay. We have only 8 responses so far to the question of when can you come to voting meetings. And so that's been out there a couple times for several weeks. Kevin, you're still accepting. Could you resend it today or tonight?
I'll send the link again. If you're not one of the ones who has the end of the day tomorrow, I'm just going to pick 3 dates that work best for everyone.
Okay.
And we'll go with it.
At the end of the day tomorrow,
yeah.
Kevin's going to take whatever he's got and pick the best dates. So please.
So there'll be another sheet that goes out with the voting meetings.
Okay, very important to do that. All right. Any other comments or questions?
Wait. Are the dates that you sent out originally still
on the table?
The
doodle poll that you filled out, those are out there still. I'm waiting for additional responses. You're all set. You don't have to do anything.
I didn't give an additional response because I can come on the dates that you had originally proposed.
You're okay.
Do we need to respond?
No, you don't need to respond to it.
Okay, in order to keep those.
Right. They're not any different. And they were just
the
talking about
the that I sent out in the doodle calendar have not changed at all. I'm just asking for those who haven't filled it out to please do so.
They're just the voting meetings. We're all set with the presentation meetings. And they're all starting at 5:30.
Correct.
You said you're sending that out again, Kevin?
Yes, I will send it out again.
Okay. Thank you all very much. Anything else, Joe?
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you both. All right. County Attorney Jonathan Wood, do you have a report?
Very briefly, I just wanted people to know we got 2 more checks in our multi-county lawsuit against the drug companies, one for $35,000 and one for $18,000. I don't know. I don't know exactly what the total is we've gotten in this lawsuit, but it's certainly over $100,000 by now. So that's pretty good for not doing a whole lot.
Sounds great. Keep looking for those.
Thanks. That's my report.
All right. David Squires, Finance Director.
Well, I did report to you at the last meeting that I was having a big sale over the Labor Day weekend. And I'm sorry to report, it was rather dismal. So, for your holiday shopping, I have the complete edition of Smallville, all 8 seasons available.
That's must-have TV.
But I wanted to let you know that the county, you know, is a funder a lot of times of the benefactor of many outside agencies, and with TCAT, I wanted to make sure that the legislature is aware that the county periodically advances funds to TCAT from federal estates based upon federal state anticipated claims. So just last week we, and what happens is like the STOA funds come quarterly from the state, and we advance them that quarterly payment. And when state funds come in for the quarterly payment, we keep it. And so we've done that 3 times this year, just recently. And the next store payment's due in November during the budget hearing, so hopefully we'll have closed that out and everything will be fine. But we did advance TCAT $600,000, and it's really indicative of more of the slowdown in them getting federal money, because the state has been predictable on when they give us their money. And, of course, perhaps now that the students are back, Cornell will lease and pay them some money. I say that to TCAT chairman over there. And that's my report.
Thank you, David. Any questions? Jim?
One comment. I love your outfit. It looks like you could be cast in any Tennessee Williams play as a lawyer.
Matlock. Jim. Matlock.
All right. Thanks for
Tennessee Williams.
Thank you very much. Are there any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda? Seeing none, we'll go through the consent agenda. If you have anything you want pulled, please say so. All the first 5 are revised and are in your packet.
I need to pull.
Well, I usually read them, okay. And you call out if there's a particular one. Resolution A, so these first 5 are all revised. ID 3634, authorizing acceptance of a Federal Aviation Administration grant to purchase new snow removal equipment at Ithaca Tompkins Regional Airport. Resolution B, ID 3633.
I have a question about whether I need to pull that. It had another minor revision to it in committee meeting just before this. It was fairly minor. It added a date and a reference.
No. That can go through. Authorizing acceptance of a Federal Aviation Administration grant to construct an operations addition.
You were pulling C, aren't you? I am going to pull C when she gets there, yes.
I'm on B. Okay. I'm trying to read the title of B. Authorizing acceptance of a Federal Aviation Administration grant to construct an operations addition to the aircraft rescue and fire fighting building, Ithaca Tompkins Regional Airport. Resolution C.
That needs to come off.
Okay. Resolution, that's 3632. Resolution D, 3631, authorizing acceptance of a Federal Aviation Administration grant to prepare an airport pavement management system, Ithaca Tompkins Regional Airport. Resolution E, 3630, authorizing acceptance of a Federal Aviation Administration grant for terminal apron rehabilitation, runway 1432, centerline joint repair.
That one, Martha. It's, again, if anybody would like me to pull it, we added a minor reference to a resolution and a date in the second whereas.
If anybody wanted it pulled, they would say so. Ithaca Tompkins Regional Airport. Resolution F, 3536, adoption of regular and supplemental reports of footings, totals, and assessment rolls. Resolution G, 3535, establishing county equalization rates. and the appointment of Amanda Verba to the Youth Services Board. Is there a motion on the consent agenda? Moved by Frank, seconded by Pat. But
can I'd really like me feel the need to clarify. So people should understand that in committee, there were additional minor revisions made in addition to those that are in your packet.
Okay. All in favor of the consent agenda, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. So the first committee report. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Wow. Thank you, Madam Chair. Quarter to nine. The Health Committee will be meeting next Tuesday on the 11th, and we hope to have at least a presentation to clarify the questions that Mr. Hall was raising. Perhaps we'll have some answers for him prior to that. Other than that, that's the end of my report.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you, Frank. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Carol Chalk, Chair.
Yeah, I have Resolution C. Is that still C? Yes, C. Authorizing acceptance of a federal aviation administration. Oh, you know what? Can I not introduce this because I'm not voting for it? Should I let you introduce it?
Yeah, but you can introduce it and vote against it as long as you don't talk against it.
You go ahead.
I'll introduce Resolution C, authorizing acceptance of a Federal Aviation Administration grant to perform a terminal expansion feasibility study at the Catoptins Airport.
In the committee, we revised
Carol,
that.
Carol.
We revised the title in committee.
I'm sorry, I don't have
it. Okay, I'll introduce it. Authorizing acceptance of a Federal Aviation Administration grant to perform a terminal expansion feasibility study. We added the words to accommodate new security equipment and allow for more efficient use of terminal space, which is in the language that is in the first whereas and that agreed with the way that we passed it when we had discussion about the grant on the floor of the legislature on June 19th.
With that change, is there a second?
Seconded
by Dooley. Any discussion? Are there any questions?
Yeah.
The vote in committee was 4-1.
Okay. Frank?
Carol, can you state again what the feasibility study is going to be examining? We're not tearing the terminal down and starting over again.
It is going to examine how to accommodate the need for the anticipated push from the FAA, which we haven't received yet, but we're anticipating that there will be a push to accommodate new security equipment for passengers as they go through the terminal, both equipment and staff space within the terminal to allow additional security measures in the airport. It is not clear yet, according to Bob Nichols this afternoon, whether that can be accommodated within the existing space, in which case it would be a renovation, or whether we would need to expand the terminal in order to accommodate increased security desires.
Thank you.
The vote in the committee was 4-1. Because of these questions about do we really need to institute these new security measures before they're required by the FAA.
Ready to vote? All in favor, please raise your hand. Peter, I can't see. 11. Opposed? 2 opposed, 11-2. Okay.
Other than that, we meet on Friday, 9:45. Our usual meeting time is 9:45 to 12:15. I will note that there was an agenda that was distributed and then revised very slightly because to reflect the end of Pine Tree Road that will be discussed, which is the end where the residents live. I guess it's the south end, not the north end. And there's been, since the agenda went out, just a request. The airport is scheduled on the agenda that was distributed to be first. There are two items, and the staff can't come at that time, so they are asking that we stay past the 12 o'clock time till the 12:15 time in order to be able to accommodate their staffing needs. And the committee, four of us were there this afternoon. We said yes to that. Frank?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Carol, over the last couple of weeks, some of us have been treated by an email exchange regarding Ellis Hollow Road and the striping and the addition of the green bicycle, you know,
the road shoulder coloring.
Question came up, A, where did the money come from? And how did it get authorized to be spent on that particular project? Can you say something about that?
Yeah, we've heard reports on that. There was $7,000 in the budget. If, as you recall, there was $100,000 requested originally to do the road shoulder coloring. Our staff, we could not do that. Our staff felt that there was a method they could use that would cost a whole lot less, $17,000. There was $7,000, if I'm correct, Joe, left in the budget at the end of the project, and staff found an additional $10,000 from their operating budget in order to be able to try out this procedure, since that was a lot of the discussion about moving forward with the project.
And it was, and the monies were just moved into this project?
That was reported on in an earlier meeting.
You reported on it two meetings ago,
yes,
that there was money found, but I don't remember us voting on a change. Were we supposed to?
I don't think you need to. There's adequate money in the project, so Carol's absolutely right. There's $7,000 in the capital project itself, and you recall that the original project called for shoulder coloring, so it's appropriate, it fits the scope. In addition to that, there's money in the operating budget in highway materials or maintenance that the department can choose to allocate this way. So it didn't require any special approval by the legislature, but I think the division's been really good about bringing this to the committee to get guidance from the committee on how to proceed.
Can you see if the department can find money to fix the road between the intersection where Peleg Ellis's house is, where the T is in the Ellis Hollow Road? You go left to go to Ellis Hollow Creek Road. You go right to go to Route 79.
Right.
The road is falling apart, and you have to drive on the center line in order not to go into the ditch.
I left a message with exactly that information on Jeff Smith's phone over the weekend. Also, there's concerns have been raised about from that stop sign to Ringwood Road. That's Ellis Hollow Creek
Road. It's a mess, Martin.
Also not good. He wrote back to me today that there's that if you check, neither of those sections were on the five-year plan, but he recognizes that they're in terrible shape, and Matt Whittemore and he are going to look at it again and see if they can advise that.
Okay, thank you.
Meg?
Well, if we're going to start directing the highway to fix some highways, I've got some out in my district that are kind of bad shape, but I think we need to let our highway manager and the highway department do their best with that, and not to, we can point out to them where there are problems, but they need to have the opportunity to manage their budget.
Right, but I think it's appropriate. We often hear from from residents that point out problems, and it's good for us to pass those on to the department head. That's true for all departments.
That's essentially what we're doing.
Right. It isn't on the agenda for this Friday, but we have asked our highway director to come back with an overview of the condition of roads throughout the county. now that he's been here a few months, or after he's here for another few months, it's only been, what, 2 months, to come back with an assessment of roads throughout the county and a listing of those that he thinks need attention, and a planning process for deciding which ones to move forward with in what order.
Carol, I've had another request that legislators go on a tour, and we've done that periodically. I can't remember when the last one was, but it seems like it's a couple of years ago, sort of. And I think you're right. After Jeff's got to get his feet wet, maybe at an appropriate time, a few highlights or maybe lowlights will be put together into a tour and that offered to legislators.
One thing that we will be doing this Friday is our consultants for our road preservation law will be coming, and we have a good deal of time on the agenda devoted to hearing from them where they stand in their recommendations about how to implement our road use preservation process.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for Carol? Thanks, Carol. Capital Plan Review, Mike Lane, Chair.
You may recall that at our last legislature meeting, we had a spirited discussion about some of the project in the old courthouse, particularly the furnishing and the style of the desks, the audiovisual equipment that will be over there, and how we will be viewing it. As you all should know, we held a special meeting of the Capital Plan Review Committee to discuss all of those things and carried forth many of the comments that were heard here. And at that meeting, we had the opportunity for any and every legislator to come in, and I called for votes of everybody because it's so important, because it is our chambers where we're talking about. And we did that. We made some recommendations, and we gave good direction to our architects. It will include two screens. It will include desks with narrower drawers, but everyone will have drawers. And we haven't picked the chairs yet. There are a couple out in the hall. You can try them, and probably there'll be some other ones to try.
Thank you very much, Mike. That was a succinct summary of a much longer discussion.
Wait, I'm sorry.
It's 9 o'clock.
Can we recap that entire thing?
No. No. Sorry, Nate.
I'm just kidding. I actually watched a portion of it. It was all.
Jim?
I saw the whole thing. I was home. It was compelling.
Yeah. All right.
And awful.
Any actual questions or comments? Thank you. Government Operations Committee, Billy Kiefer, Chair.
We're having a special meeting this Thursday from 1:30 to 3:30 to get through the Code of Ethics, the proposed revisions from the Ethics Advisory Board. That's the end of my report.
Thank you. Any questions? Thanks, Julie. Planning, Development, Environmental Quality Committee, Will Burbank, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. We have not met since our last meeting of this body, but we will be meeting tomorrow at 3:30, and one of the things we'll be discussing is it's sort of continuing our discussion of the development focus areas and the conservation strategy for the county. You all have the documents in tonight's packet for this meeting. And it's my hope that we will be able to have some good spirited discussion. If you'd like to join us, that piece of it will be on our agenda at somewhere around toward the early part of the meeting. And that concludes my report.
You said the early part of the meeting?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, thank you, Will. Any questions? All right, Budget Broadband Committee, Pat Pryor, Chair.
Yeah, thank you. Two items I just want to alert you to. One, we are very nearly complete with our final report on the phone survey and the community engagement forums. And I think when we get that done and you have a chance to look at it, you'll find a lot of interesting information in there. The other thing that's been both exciting and has taken up an awful lot of our time during this last week or week and a half is that we learned that the governor has committed $25 million through the Regional Economic Development Council process for the expansion of rural broadband. And we
I have met with a number of people here on staff, particularly those people who are at-large members of the broadband committee, as well as Joe, Martha, to try to help us decide whether this is something that we should try to apply for a project here in Tompkins County. I also met with the broadband committee last week, and we talked about it. So based on all of those conversations, we have temporarily put a hold on the work that we were going forward with on the request for information, and we are working very hard to see whether or not it makes sense for us to try to put in an application for some of that money. At this point, last Friday, late Friday afternoon, I sent out an email drafted by Jonathan and with input from several people to every internet provider in Tompkins County who has infrastructure in Tompkins County, asking them to respond to either Jonathan or myself if they were interested in possibly in exploring the idea of a partnership with the county for the expansion of rural broadband. So far, we've had responses from three providers here in the county, and that was just as of, today is Tuesday. I just sent this out this past Friday, so that's just within 2 days we've had responses from three providers. So we'll be continuing to investigate this possibility, and I will keep you posted.
Thanks very much, Pat. It's great that you're all working that hard on a very quick deadline, a quick turnaround.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to say that the deadline for submitting the application is October 5th.
Any questions for Pat? Thank you, Pat. Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Jim Dennis, Chair.
I'm going to move right to the resolution I, a resolution authorizing the issuance pursuant to Section 90.10 of the local finance law of refunding bonds of the County of Tompkins, New York, to be designated substantially public improvement refunding serial bonds and providing for other matters in relation thereto and the payment of the bonds to be refunded thereby. And I would move that.
Second by Brian.
I believe we are saving money in debt service by doing this. David may have a broader explanation, but I believe that's what we're doing.
It's certainly more pages than most of our other work.
Well, what you have, because there has to be a feasibility but I wanted to point out that this provides the authorization to refund these bonds at a future date. If you look at the transaction wouldn't occur till 2014, but by having the approval now, if the interest rates continue to decline, it might be possible to do it in 2013 because the annual debt service payments are over $1 million a year. But the guaranteed savings are based upon the projections that after we make the 2013 payments, we could refund the 2014 and beyond.
Thank you. And really, that's one of the reasons we're going to really be sorry that you are leaving us. Any questions, Julie?
Well, refunding means refinancing here. Right?
Yes, but what they do is they take an issue, an amount equal to the entire investment, and pay off future debt service payments for the old bonds. They don't pay off all of old bonds at once. They pay them off when the coupons come due each year. And they create this escrow account.
Brian?
David, could you wear that suit golfing on Friday?
Okay.
I really like that suit.
I got a Patamore hat, too. You know?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Very. Can't wait.
So we're talking about this hugely important thing that's going to save us $1 million a year. And Brian, that's your comment. Okay.
Well, we went all through this in the budget committee. So.
Okay. And
I have no substitute.
I will point out that we need a 2/3 vote. And so in other words, 10 votes in the affirmative and a full roll call on this. Are there any other comments or questions? Okay, roll call vote. Mr. Proto?
Only if it's conditional upon David wearing the suit on Friday. Yes.
That's a yes.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Yes.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Ms. Chalk?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. McAsey?
Yes.
Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
13 ayes, 0 noes.
Very good. Thank you.
A couple more things. We are trying to set up a community budget forum, the annual community budget forum. We're looking at 9/20, but if that's not going to work, we're also looking at October 8th. And it would be held in TCPL. Maybe not. Maybe in the new legislature chambers with the new desk with two drawers. But we'll get back to you on that. 9/20 or 10/8.
9/20?
September 20th.
9/20, yeah.
September 20th or October 8th.
How much notice are we planning to give to residents?
I'm sorry?
How much notice are we planning to give to residents about the budget hearing?
This is the community forum. It's not the hearing.
We'll get it out as soon as we can. We're not under any requirement to give a certain number of days.
Jim, I think October 8th is Columbus Day.
It is.
Great.
So nobody will come, okay. Right?
No, the county's closed.
One of my favorite people. That would end the first meeting, as we've said before, 9/11. If you would like to eat, we will be ordering some things, and I would look for a $20 contribution from each one of you to cover those expenses. We do not have that in the legislature budget, and I don't have it in my own personal budget. So that's okay. What we'll be doing. And that concludes my report. I welcome you all to look at the budget book, look at the schedule, and hope that all of you who can will be there for opening ceremonies on 9/11.
Ceremonies. Good. Any other questions? Thank you very much, Jim. Public Safety Committee, Peter Stein, Chair.
Well, we're having our regular
meeting. Please use the mic.
Sorry. We're having our regular meeting of the month tomorrow at 11 o'clock, and the major business will be a report from the sheriff, which I think will be interesting.
Any questions for Peter? Thank you. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion, Leslyn, before she left me the note to say WDAC is working on the county diversion and inclusion policy and community conversation. More information to follow. She would also like to remind colleagues about supporting our local youth with donated school supplies, especially notebooks, brought to GIAC by tomorrow. Jim.
There were two documents that were involved. Are they the things that were needed, were going to be demonstrated during the planning department discussion?
Yes. Okay. Right. Now, and those are to be discussed tomorrow at the committee.
At PDEC, right.
So all right. Well.
But we'll have them come back at another time. Motion on the minutes of August 21st, please. Moved by Pat, second by Frank. Comments, questions? All in favor of the minutes, please raise your hand. Any opposed? One opposed. That's Carol.
I think Dooley's opposed.
Dooley's opposed. Well, okay. Motion to adjourn. Moved by Pat, seconded by Nate. All in favor? We are adjourned. Thank you all very much.